Good morning and welcome to Bethel on this Saturday morning, maybe your Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon, the 27th of June. Hopefully this will be the last or the penultimate service before we get back to business as usual. I am giving some serious thought to starting our services on Sunday, this day week, Sunday morning, and hopefully we'll have all the arrangements made by then, and if not, we will make do with what we have. So, amen. We're very glad to have your company. Pray you're having a Christ-started and Christ-centered day. For those that are interested, our Bible readings today are taken from Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament, and Genesis chapter 39 in the Old Testament, in fact, the very first book in the Old Testament. So I pray those are a help to you. Just remember, you don't have to keep up with us. You can press the pause button if you're looking for a reference or a hymn, and you can be then pressing the play again and joining in. So entirely up to you. We're glad to have your company. We pray this is a help to you, and we're going to begin with a word of prayer. So let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for life and health and strength, for the freedom that we have to be in your house, to be around your word, to lift up your praises. Lord, to petition you for the things that, not just what we've thought about ourselves, but the things that other people have reminded us of or asked us to bring before you. I just pray you this morning, Lord, and for Frank and Ling and Dr. Shang. Thank you, Lord, for Frank being able to secure his accommodation for next year at university, our next university year. And Lord, pray for Dr. Shang and Ling's work at this particular time too. We know that this will be and has been a difficult time for them. Please, Lord, I pray you bless and honour them there as they have honoured you. Remember also John and Will, Lord. And we're not forgetting Christine and Mary Ann. For David and Naomi, and Naomi and Patrick and their families. For William and Rachel and wee Lily Ann. For Paul and Reggie, Lord. You know that whole family connection. I pray your good hand would be upon them at this time. We're not forgetting Leonard, Lord, down there in Macrofield. Pray, Lord, that your will would be done in that instance, Lord, please, I pray you put your good hand upon. And Lord, we remember Esther. And I am sure, Father, she has in her heart all of her lost children. And I pray you, Lord, that you would take and convict them of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, that you would look after Sister Karen as well. Bless and keep Christy, Lord. And look after, I pray you, and bless Taylor's time with him. And Lord, they're coming together. Lord, whichever way you can arrange that, we leave that in your hands. For Taylor's mom and dad, for Terry and Lisa, Lord, for their salvation. And we're not forgetting Eddie and Anne as well, Lord, and for their grandson, Mason. Please, Lord, I pray you for help for his mom and dad and his granny and granddad and helping that wee fella out, Lord. Please bless Brother Norman, Lord. I know he has plenty on his plate. I pray you, Lord, that you would grant them victories, Lord, please. And please secure them and comfort them and strengthen them this day. And Lord, we remember too Pat and Steve and all their family connections, many of whom need to be saved. Just pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon them, for Steve's leg, Lord, for his recovery from whatever that is, that skin infection, that whatever it is, Lord, I pray you for a recovery. And just while I'm reminded, Lord, for Esther's skin complaint as well, Lord, you know what it is. I pray you, Lord, for healing and for grace in this instance. Remember too, Father, excuse me, John and Stephen and Carol. Pray you for your good hand upon each one of them. And Lord, for those that can't be in the building with us, well, normally speaking, for Maslam and Georgina, for their children and for their salvation, Lord. For the folks in Maboy Road, Lord, for Terence McLaughlin, for Jane and Corey, for Lord Noel and Joan, and for young Norman Lord and his medical problems too. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Carol and Harry and Marie. Lord, that you'd bless and keep them. Father, we also pray for Stephen and Anne Marie. And I just thank you, Lord, for them and for the great help they've been to me and for the upkeep of the church, Lord, please. We're not forgetting too Henry and Evelyn, Lord, as they minister to their daughter. And Father, please do put your good hand upon Sally and Sammy and Kate in this time of their ill health. Be with Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, with my dad, John Bradfield, with Monica's mom and dad, Roger and Pat, and for all of those souls, Lord, that have the opportunity to just join us in spirit around your word. Put your good hand upon Brother Stan and his family and church family in Bangor. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. And for any names that I may have missed, you're prayed for outside of just our church service. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the men and women that have made it possible for us to be here today and to have all that we have and all whom we have as well. Father, pray your good hand upon each and every one, that you would restore the backslider, that you would lift up the downcast and mend the brokenhearted, Lord. You know all of our needs, and we leave them at your feet today. I pray that you would answer our prayer requests, that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We are going to begin this morning with hymn number 441, and we are singing out of soul-stirring songs and hymns. Our first hymn of the morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 441.
There is no shadow.
setting my hymn book to one side, and we are going to open our Bibles at Ephesians chapter 5. Once again, I'd like to thank Brother Steve for the suggestion for the Bible reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen. Excuse me.
You think I never saw my bed last night? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth maketh manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Amen. Okie doke. Right. Announcements. Do we have any particular announcements, Mrs. Bradfield? Okay. That's just a tickle in my throat. It's not COVID-19, don't worry. We're still planning an opening in the coming week. Or a week and a day. Particular announcements, do please continue to pray for our country, especially as they take this next step in the relaxing of quarantine and, what do they call it, social distancing, as they move to opening more of our facilities again. There are still many that are not opened. This is again another interesting time, a time when we see what people do consider to be their gods and what they rush back to and what they get most bent out of shape about. So please do pray for souls. Souls are no less in need of Jesus Christ now than they were 12, 13 weeks ago, whenever our lockdown in Northern Ireland took effect. I don't know how it is where you live, but I pray you took some time to evaluate your life and how it may have looked in the sight of God. Those verses from Ephesians chapter 5 should be thought-provoking. They're not my words, they're God's words. So please do pray about that. Please do pray for the leaders of our country. They certainly do need our prayers and our support at this time. They are the ones that God has allowed or indeed even put into power. They are the ones that we selected in many cases. So we are commanded to pray for them. There is many an instance of a dictator in the Bible being chosen by God to carry out a certain course of action and coming to know God during the courses of that action. So please do pray for our leaders. Pray for moms and dads, for husbands and wives and children. I know it has been difficult for some. I don't envy those that have found it difficult. I don't envy those that don't have Christ in their life. It is it's difficult enough life with Christ. I can hardly go back to thinking what it was like without him again. So please do pray for them as well. Do pray for those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. Do think in particular of the Gilbert family in America. The Cousins family up in Kilkeel, we didn't speak about them for a week or two. Husband suddenly dropped dead and left a very young family behind him. So please do pray for the Cousins family and the Gilbert family. Do pray for Norman. I know he still misses Sandra. And for all of those that have lost loved ones. The end of our lives is approaching. Those little wrinkles and grey hairs give that away. The end of this life is approaching, but eternity beckons. And it's entirely up to you where you spend that eternity. You can spend it with Jesus Christ in heaven, if you so choose. Or you can go where everybody else goes. Unfortunately, that is hell and the lake of fire. Do pray. Do be ready to be an example to those that don't have Christ as their Saviour. Whether it's tough on you or whether it's easy on you, remember to always do the right thing. I know many of us have private prayer requests and petitions. And many will be evaluating the opening of their business. Do pray for Ling and Dr. Shang, as their businesses will have been suffering this past wee while, because it is very much a hands-on, sort of like full human contact with their treatments and one thing and another. So please do pray for that. Will be, I'm sure, commencing his travels up and down in the next, I don't know if it's now or in the next month or two. Christy will be the same. And just be careful. Just pray for each other and treat this respectfully. I know we've mentioned many times, it is a thing that has stuck with me. If you want your prayers answered, pray believing. In other words, pray like it depends on God and then behave like it depends on you. Act accordingly. Act like your prayers are being answered. Act like you're a child of the King of Kings. People really do need to see Christians. I think that's about that. I didn't mention it the last time. I think I might have done. I'm thankful to God for answered prayers. Thankful I'm still alive today. It could have been a different story 7 months ago. I'm thankful I'm not thankful that it's taken such a long time, but I'm glad to have this time of reflection and time to live a less hectic life and not be grinding my teeth quite so much at being locked in and not being able to minister to everybody. And another family I forgot, of course, is Rita Burnett's family as well. Please do pray for Elaine and Hilary. I'm thankful for the CD duplicator working and making our lives just that little bit easier. I'll be glad whenever we only have maybe one run of the CDs to do and everybody gets their... The only ones we minister to are those that are not able to make it to the church, which is a few. But we're glad to be able to do it. There's going to come a day when the only thing that's important is whether you're saved or lost. Better making that decision now. And then serving the King of Kings. Amen. Alright, let's pray. And then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength again, for the time in your presence, and Lord, for you loving us, for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to those that are saved, for your word, Lord, and the preservation of it. Please bless our time around your word, and I pray, Lord, please, that you would grant our prayer requests and petitions. Lord, that you would comfort those that are grieving still, and Lord, that you would protect those that are striving to obey you and to follow your will in spite of opposition. I pray, O Lord, for husbands and wives, just like it mentioned in Ephesians. We live in the days whenever this bond, this relationship, marriage even, is under such severe attack. Please, I pray, for Christian husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, to be the good Christians that we need to be, regardless of what wrapping and what nice shiny bows are put on alternative lifestyles by the rest of the world. Lord, please grant our private prayer requests and petitions. Please, Lord, I pray you, comfort us and strengthen us. Lord, reveal yourself to us, open our eyes even wider and help us to see and hear and understand. Please, Lord, I pray you, touch those that are sick, and we know a few, Lord. And Lord, please, I pray, lift up those that are downcast. There are just so many things, Father. I just leave these ones at your feet and pray, Lord, that you would bring to our remembrance names, places, events, healings, Lord, decisions that we need to make and that should be made with your input. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord, and according to your will. Amen. Right. Our next hymn of the morning is hymn number 260. 260, He is able to deliver thee.
361 will be our closing hymn for this morning. 361. We have a wee bit of chatting to do in between time. Well, at least I have. You've got a little bit of listening. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, the very first book in the Bible. And go about 39, or, well, my Bible, 60 pages in. Normally it works out as a chapter a page, but some are longer, a few are shorter. But there you go. Genesis 39. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of blooming where you are planted. Blooming where you are planted. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. For us, at any rate, I know many people have missed being in the house of God. And my wife and I, we really haven't, because we're here. Sometimes it's a bit interesting whenever I'm speaking to an empty church, if my wife has to step out. But I remember that I'm speaking to you too. So regardless of where you are or when you are, this is the Word of God. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had, in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. Now, if you'd skip along to verse number 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, who lied, of course, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Well, we're not done reading yet either. Please go over a chapter or two to Genesis 41, beginning at verse number 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favoured kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favoured and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favoured and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in the ward in the captain's house, both me and the chief's baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. If we go on to verse number 39, and read just these last few verses. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, after he had interpreted the dream and advised him on a course of action, for as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of blooming where you're planted, and we're going to take a little bit of time this morning to look at the life of Joseph and the lessons that we could learn, that many have learned from this portion of God's word. Thank you, Lord, again for loving us and watching over us, for your forgiving to us, Lord, and preserving us. And pray you, Lord, for our leaders in the world today. Father, that you would convict and direct, you would give wisdom to, and you would constrain greatly, Lord, about doing the right thing. I'm not going to name them all today, Lord, but I do pray you, Father, please, for your good hand upon them. Upon those that not only rule in the seats of government, but also, Lord, as religious leaders, and for those that open your word, Lord, and preach the full counsel of it. For those, even, Lord, that would open it to use it to gain the mastery over people. Father, I pray that you would put your hand upon each one of us. Lord, that you would constrain us, that you would convict us, that you would open our understanding, that you would open our eyes, Lord, and help us to see and to hear and to understand what is the right thing to do. The right words to say, the full counsel of it, not to apply to other people's lives only, but to our own as well. Just thank you, Father, for sending your Son to save us. Thank you, Lord, for the full payment of sins, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the ministrations of angels, for a place to call our church home in Derry. And Lord, I just thank you. Lord, we pray that you would be with us through the remainder of the service and to the rest of the sermon. And I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Blooming where you're planted. These three chapters that we have skipped over and dipped our toes into just for a moment or two, see what could only be described as the roller coaster rise and fall and rise again of a young man called Joseph. Now, many preachers have taken this, and I do believe it is, a great analogy of the life of Jesus Christ, who was a favoured son in his father's household, who came down to earth. He took on the form of a man. He became a servant, a slave. And all the time he had a good spirit, and Jesus did, and he preached and he taught. And eventually he was lifted back up to rule at the right hand of his father. So many similarities as to be impossible to happen. Joseph went from a favoured son, the one that wore the coat of many colours, the firstborn son of the wife that his father laboured for 14 years from Rachel. He went from a favoured son to a slave sold for a handful of silver, to a house servant, to a prisoner, to the second ruler in Egypt. Crazy life. And all this began when God started dealing with him in his dreams and telling him about the sun, the moon and the stars bowing down before him and all the sheaves bowing down before him. And he shared these dreams of what must have seemed like conquest over his family. All of his brothers, even the firstborn brother who should have been receiving the inheritance, they weren't going to get the inheritance. Joseph was going to get the inheritance. He was given the coat of many colours. He was given the status of the favoured son. And his brothers hated him for it. In fact, we know that all of his brothers except Reuben and Benjamin planned to kill him. He had everything. And he was obviously listening to God, and God was speaking to him. God doesn't speak and deal with wicked people except to convict them of their sins. I do believe that Joseph was living for God. He was living close to God, and he was living in a position where God was not only prepared to speak to him, but was prepared to use him. Now, the Word of God has many examples of people that should have been listening to God and weren't. We have the whole history of the Jewish people, the kingdom of Judah, a nation of people that literally were chosen by God and were given every opportunity to follow God, and yet so many times they rejected him and they followed the lusts and pleasures of their own hearts and minds and the people that were devil worshippers instead of God, and fell down badly. And many times there was just a remnant. A remnant was saved. We have, in Jesus' day, we have the scribes and the Pharisees, the very people that should have been welcoming him as the Lord and Savior, were the very ones that, through jealousy and through hatred and fear of their own position, caused him to be put to death. We have a few names that are mentioned in the Word of God by the apostles, well, most notably Paul, of Hymenaeus and Philetus preaching false gospels. And Alexander the coppersmith, Paul said, he did him much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works. It doesn't normally talk about wicked people being rewarded according to their works, because everybody will know that, but Christian people, or people that are supposed to be Christians, being judged, just like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. People that should have been behaving like Christians, jealous of those that are behaving like Christians and trying to throw a stick in the spokes of those that are trying to aggrandize themselves and make themselves look good. Joseph was doing the best that he could to honour his mother and father and to obey, to please the God that had delivered his family out of so much and blessed them so much. I don't know, were his standards too high? Was his walk with God too close? Let me stop there a moment. Were his standards so high that he embarrassed those around and about him? We know that some of his brethren did not live very moral lives. One of them was fornicated with one of his father's concubines. Another one with his daughter-in-law, and never thought twice about visiting a prostitute. So we know that they weren't living the way they should have been. So he was probably making them feel bad about that. He was pleasing his father. We know that he walked with God because God was speaking to him. And he had no problem sharing this. It's a joy to share what God shares with you. But obviously God wasn't dealing with any of his brethren. And his obedience to God, and the Word of God records during the life of Joseph, that sometimes he brought an ill report back because his brothers were away carrying on and up to shenanigans. So his obedience was a problem to those who weren't obedient. I'm sure there were many other things. I'm sure there may even have been a little bit of that in the Lord's family. Can you imagine having God as your big brother? And maybe Mary would have said, Jesus, who did that? And Jesus is supposed to honor his mom and his dad, his stepdad. He would have had to obey and say, well, it was Joseph's, or it was Salome, or whatever. I'm sure there wasn't very much of it now, but you know what? Children are children. And they all, what does the Bible say? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. He was definitely a diligent son, and he was rewarded accordingly, but he was not appreciated by his brothers. He had it all. He stood to inherit an empire nearly, a vast fortune, and then it was gone. Now, if it was you or me, I feel bad if I lose 5 or 10 pounds. I honestly do. And I have been on eBay, and eBay ruled against me because one of the people that I sent stuff back to never let on that I sent it back to them. And so I lost £3.20. And that annoyed me. The post office gave me instructions on how to claim back, I think it was £25 of postage. And they have not bothered getting back to me. And that has annoyed me. I can hardly imagine what it would be like to lose even the things that I walk about with every day. My keys in my one pocket, my pocket knife in another pocket, a box cutter in my back pocket, my glasses in another pocket, and a phone in another pocket. And decent shoes, a fleece, the conference. I really couldn't be doing without them. I just feel like I'm running around naked without them. But imagine losing your home, the support and the encouragement of your father, the riches that you were going to inherit, the power that you already had. If it was you or me, we would forgive Joseph if he had just started lamenting and mourning the loss of his position and his life. We would even be forgiven if we had tried to escape those that had taken us captive, or for using his freedom in Potiphar's house to kill his master and escaping the country back to his family, or for crying his eyes out in prison. It's all gone again. I thought I was just getting back on my feet, and it's all gone again. And I don't know if you've ever seen it in some of these movies, just spent in his days rattling his tin plate on the bars of his prison cell. Or even relapsing into self-pity whenever the Pharaoh's cupbearer forgot about him for 2 years. That's why we did that little bit of a reading. He forgot about him for 2 years. But that wasn't Joseph. You see, no matter where he went, he served God first. Whenever he was his father's son in his father's household, he served God. And when you serve God, God has a certain set of rules for how you treat other people, for how you treat your mom and dad, for how you treat your brothers and sisters, for how you treat the strangers in the streets, for how you treat your husbands and wives, for how you treat your children. He has a certain set of rules. And if you're obeying God first, you'll obey his rules, his commandments. He was God's son whenever he was Jacob's son, Israel's son. He was God's slave whenever he was Potiphar's slave, or the Ishmaelite's slave. And he was God's servant whenever he was Potiphar's servant. He was God's prisoner whenever he was in prison, and whenever he was lifted up to the second most highest position in Egypt, as the de facto ruler of Egypt, he was God's ruler of Egypt. He was serving God. And I hope that you noticed as we read, and you may have to go back and read those 3 chapters again. By all means, they read like an adventure. It was remarked that he had a good spirit, and he was well favored
His masters never once had any occasion to doubt him. In fact, no matter where he went, he was promoted up through the ranks in miracle time because they saw that God was with him. No matter where he was, God was with him. Joseph made space for God in every bit of his life, not just whenever favor and blessing and riches and position and glory and social standing were being heaped upon him. Even when he was at the bottom of the pile, he made room for God in his life. And he did his very best, not to serve these men, but to serve God. And God even has instruction for serving those that have the rule over you. Do it honestly, do it properly, be content with your wages. Don't do it just with your lips, but do it with your whole heart. And because of that, he went from a slave worth only a handful of silver to pretty much the most important man in the whole world. That sounded a bit like Jesus. He was sold for a handful of silver, and he went on to be the most important man in the world, the man without whom you will not see heaven. So much so, the whole world literally came to his feet and worshipped and praised him. And here we see the start of his dreams beginning to come true. All because God had prepared Joseph for a time like this. And Joseph was willing to serve God wherever God put him. I don't think we really have much of a leap of understanding to make here. There are so many good lessons. There are so many times and so many lives that we want to serve God. But we want to serve God whenever it suits us. Whenever we've watched our TV, whenever we've made our money, whenever we've been out and partied, whenever we have foolishly wasted our money, then we want to serve God, and then we want God to pull us out. But when the road starts to get a bit rough, we start to complain and wonder why God hates us so much and would allow these things to happen to us. Whenever we see our comforts and our friends and our money and our position and our health even start to go, we complain to God, why me? Instead of looking to God and saying, Lord, what is it you want me to learn? What is it you want me to do? Who is it? Which soul is it, Lord, that needs to be spoken to? Rarely do we ever stop and say this. Rarely do we ever stop and say, God, my life has been in your hands from the day I asked you to be my Savior. And the saving of souls is more important than anything else that I could possibly have to do. Let thy will be done. Even our Savior said those same words. My comfort, my ease is not as important as the souls of these. Let thy will be done. Sometimes I wonder if you remember the account of Daniel's three brethren being thrown into the fire, and because of their faith in Jesus, the flames and even the smoke didn't affect them. I wonder if it was us, would we have gotten a little toasty round the edges? Would our hair have been singed a little bit? Would we have gotten out, instead of being consumed to dust, would we have gotten out with blistering all over our body? What shape would Egypt have been in if it had been us that had to toe the line? We don't seem to have, but we have a great difficulty putting God first in our lives. And I believe it's down to so much of the way that we're raised up in these days. So much of what we are told. And so much of what is ingrained in us from an early age, even in children's TV programming, and it is programming. Where rebellion is taught as desirable. Where selfishness is the way to go. And in fact, the Lord said in the last days, men will be proud and covetous and boasters. They'll be heady and high-minded.
lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be disobedient to parents, scoffers of those that are good. And we're here because that is the behaviour of those that are raised up, being told, morning, noon and night, you are the most important thing in the world, and what you want is the most important thing in the world. That is Satanism. That is outright Satanism. Whatever you want is the whole of the law. It's hard to serve God in these circumstances. It's hard to even hear God in these circumstances. It's hard to serve him because all we want to do is to serve ourselves. And it's hard to hear him because all we hear is the little voices in our ears of all the things that we want, our own lusts and our own desires and our own ambitions. But God needs to be first. He could take you to the door of many, many people where the word of God has been rejected in Christian homes. And lives have been ruined. Families have been broken apart. All because God started to take second, third, fourth, fifth place after people got all that they wanted and did all that they felt like. We all miss out because God's already looking out for us. And he's looking out for us on so many levels over such a long time that our minds can't comprehend the level of love that he has for us and the amount of power that he has not at our disposal but is prepared to spend upon us. He is much better at looking after us than we ever will be. And all that we need to do is let him do it. Get out of our own ways and let him do it. And just do what he says. And live a life less ordinary. We already mentioned that the life of a man who was in his church and he always seemed to have his prayers answered. His way of working, the way of his life was to pray like his whatever his prayer request was depended on God, and then to act like his prayer request depended on him. To put your shoulder to the grindstone, the same grindstone that you pray over, to put a bit of effort into your Christian life, to make a point of obeying God and not our own feelings or what somebody else says, but doing it God's way. And remembering that until we stand in glory with the sin nature no longer in us, that there is never a point in our lives when we don't need to be doing that. Even old, mature, established Christians have fallen afoul of the devil and the consequences of sin when they think they have arrived and stop listening to God. I'm sure we can all testify to the times in our lives whenever we decided to take a break, whenever the life of a Christian maybe seemed a bit grievous to us or hard or sore on us, and we just walked away for a bit, but we miss so much when we do that. Now, over the years I've read a few biographies, William Carey, Adam Aaron Judson, George Mueller. I haven't read Amy Carmichael, but the name's familiar to me, and D.L. Moody. And we read these books, and we read about the things that, the miracles that God was able to do, was allowed to do, was prayed and asked to do by these men and these women, and how these things actually happened. The one that always springs to mind is in George Mueller's life so many times. He was like the father of orphans in England. And he started the first of the orphanages, and God blessed them and they grew. But
He was never a wealthy man, but it took a fortune to put these things on the map. Because whenever he needed something and prayed for it, God delivered it. And many instances of people coming to him and saying, Mr. Mueller, God really put it upon my heart to give you this land, to give you this £100, to give you this £1,000. Whenever money like that was worth 10, 15, 20, even 100 times what it's worth today. Whenever they were praying and thanking God for their breakfast for the children, and there was no milk and there was no bread, and just as they had finished praying, the door to the orphanage was knocked upon, and it was the milkman. His milk cart had broken down outside, and he said, Mr. Mueller, take this milk before it goes bad. The baker had been put upon by God to get up hours earlier and bake bread for the day, and delivered it shortly after. And we think, those things are amazing. Those things are astounding. But friends, in the life of a Christian, in the life of a soul that loves God, those are the way things are. We think it's like a movie. We think it's like special effects. Something that happens in a Hollywood movie. But friends, do you know what? God's no respecter of persons. And the only difference between them and us, as a fellow says, it's not the colour of our skin and it's not the level of our education, it's the amount of space we're prepared to leave for God in our lives. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Amy Carmichael, for George Mueller, for Dwight L. Moody, for Adoniram Judson, for William Carey, did we mention him? He'll do it for you. But you have to give him room to work. I've noticed of late, and I haven't just been quite 100%. Please pray for me. I have an abdominal scan on Saturday, today week, 4th of July. A great way to spend your 4th of July. At 9:20 in the morning, I seem to be a bit groggy in the morning. My mind seems to be like it's wading through mud most mornings. And there were many's a morning I was able to get up and everybody's name was coming to me. It was almost like it was being delivered to me on a conveyor belt. But these mornings I have had to go searching for names and I've had to force myself. It's almost like it's an uphill battle. And I miss those mornings. I think they'll be back again. But I miss those days whenever it was easy to pray. But it's not all about ease. It's about your determination too. But I can, without God first in your life, I'm not even talking about without God being in your life, but without God being first in your life, it's like watching the world in black and white. It's like a dimension of the world is missing. Now, I know I've shared this with you, but many years ago, whenever I worked in my uncle's hotel, I used to work the odd weekend. In fact, I used to work a lot of weekends around the holidays, and Dad would leave me up on a Friday night, and he would come and get me on a Sunday night. And he would take me home again, and I would think I was a rich man because I had maybe £30 in my pocket, and that was a lot 40 years ago. But I remember this one time. It was a scary film called Alien or Aliens, and it was on TV, and they had a big colour TV in the hotel, and we only had a black and white TV, and I wanted to stay in the hotel to get the full movie experience. Dad insisted on going home and going home early. And we arrived home just in time to see that my dad had actually picked up a colour TV. And it was so amazing to watch it in our own homes. When you put God first in your day, in your life, no matter how ordinary the day is to the world, it will be extraordinary to the soul that has made the effort to leave a space, to make a space for God in their lives and let him set the pace.
and to put him there in the first place. It's like there's that extra dimension. It has life and it has joy. It doesn't mean you have to become like a nun or a monk or like a hermit sitting on top of a hill, living in a little tin hut with a wood stove and cooking all your meals in a cast iron pot. Anybody can worship God. I know there are some countries in this world where it's literally a death sentence to worship God, and there were back in the days of the Lord as well. But let God in. Don't be surprised if it tastes funny, a little bit like tea without sugar for the first time. I know tea with sugar tastes really, really nice, but you know what? It's not really that good for you. You'll start to get the real taste of your tea, and you'll figure out whether you love the taste of tea or whether you love the taste of sugar. It's a bit like getting the real taste of food when you stop putting quite so much salt and red sauce on it. That one's for my wife, by the way. It'll be starting to get a real taste of life. Not the sugar-coated one that the TV programs and the movies and the popular press would like to put your way, but the real one. Remember what the Lord said when he said what the parables were about? He said, I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what God wants you to know. There is a heaven to be gained. There is a hell to be shunned. And there is a loving God and Savior that wants you to make the right decision. Then you will see, if you give God a wee bit of space in your life, just exactly what Jesus can actually do. And I guarantee you, you won't regret a single thing. You will grow in Christ and you will bloom where God plants you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're going to close our service with a word of prayer. A song. Got a last song to sing. We're looking forward to getting back to singing them with you. This one is 361. And it is, Did You Think to Pray? 361, Did You Think to Pray?
Hey, you left it with me.
the close of our service. Thank you for your good time and your attention. God bless you. We pray that you have a good day in Christ. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength again, for the time we've been able to have in your presence. Please bless us as we part company. And Lord, we look forward to meeting up with you and with the brethren at the next appointed time. I ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you soon.